Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode number 60. I hope y'all can hear me good because the input is a different way this time, so I hope the sound quality is prime. And I hope everybody's day and late afternoon has been off to a good start, as well as everybody September has been off to a good start. I know mine has been very stressful and it's very frustrating, but it is what it is. I hope everybody's been having a positive first couple weeks of school. For everybody, for all my college people, having a good couple weeks of school. Plus, it's getting close to we're about that time. It's getting close to the holiday season too, so I know it'll be a lot more merry soon. The fall semester, at least for the students, is it really depends where you're taking, but I mean, the first couple months, get used to everything. You know, it's stressful, but then we wrap it up at the end, and the holiday season is always a beautiful way to end the semester, after a stressful couple of months. So I'm looking forward to that. Shout out to my brother Lee on the line today. And
yo, what's going on?
They want to put all the work on Lee because they know he's the man. So it's a gift and a curse because he's a talented guy. And they want to put all the weight on his shoulders, but they don't realize that the king needs a break sometimes, and you got to put in your fair share, on a consistent basis as well. So shout out to Lee for being a hardworking individual. We see you out here. Thank you, Lee.
Oh, man, what's going on? Just doing my job. But episode 60, man, I want to send a shout out to everybody that's trying to put piece their life back together after Hurricane Florence. Those people down in North Carolina and Virginia that were hit the hardest. Keep your heads up. Do what you can. Help your neighbor out. There are better days ahead. Don't let hard times get you down. Keep looking forward. And for our listeners, if you can, please make a donation to your local Red Cross to help the people out in need. People that's going to have to rebuild their homes and try to piece back their lives. Like I always say, pay it forward. If you can't, go volunteer at your local Red Cross, local community shelter, things like that, just to bring a smile to somebody's face who probably needs it more than the next person. But shout out to the people that are going through this tough time with this natural disaster. Better days are ahead, so keep striving forward. Also, I want to send a congratulations to my man Keys, my co-host. My man had his article put on the front page of his local paper in his hometown, or it was your hometown, right, Keys?
Yeah, that's my city's primary newspaper.
Okay, and he had an article published on the front page. It was a good read. He's doing his thing. He's the new Peter Parker. So congratulations to my man Keys. I also got one more thing I wanted to say tonight. In our country today, it's tough. There's a lot of tough sledding going on for people. Race, social, things of that nature. But always respect the man next to you. You don't know what that man or that lady might be going through. Show them the same respect you would want them to show you. So let's treat each other the way we deserve to be treated, and let's keep on making this country great. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Let's keep making the United States of America the greatest country in the world. And we the people of this country, only we can do that. So to kick the show off tonight is me and your boy Keys. We here to bring it to you off the top. No rundown, no playing conversations. We just here to talk. And thanks for lending us your ear tonight.
Yeah, when he was saying that early on, I actually liked that motto so much. That's pretty much become the official motto of this show. And it's probably never noticed, but I use that on every episode. Bonus, loan us ear, and we promise you a good show. That's the motto of Lean Keys, because that saying is so dope, and I had to put that on every episode. If I set up this every time, then I put that every time, because that's a very dope saying. So shout out to you for coming up with that, because that was very creative, and it flows well right off the tongue. So also, there was almost tornadoes today. You know, I was at school today, and there was a tornado warning in the city or town. I don't know if it's a city or town, but who cares? The city or whatever, the place where I go to school, there was a tornado warning because the winds were so bad and it was downpouring. And they said that we all got alerts on our phone. They said that the thunderstorm that was over Salem, which is the town where I'd go to school, could spawn a tornado. So there was a tornado warning here, and that was crazy. I know there's actually been tornadoes, though, that have touched down in other areas. I know North Carolina, there's been a tornado touchdown in some areas in North Carolina, as well as, I believe I read today, Richmond, Virginia, a tornado touchdown in Richmond, Virginia as well. And I don't know if they're tornado related. I mean, it's dangerous. There's a lot of destruction caused regardless. But I know overall from Hurricane Florence, there's been, I think there was 10 reported casualties or deaths storm related as of like a day or two ago. You know, I read the news like almost constantly. So I just happen to know these random kind of almost useless facts. But I mean, it's relevant to this. And as of today, I think someone in my class said it was now gone to 13 storm-related deaths. So that's very sad news to hear. I feel like the storm was downgraded, and then when it actually hit down, because they put it to a Category 2, so then people thought it was lesser because it was Category 4, then it went Category 2. But now, when it actually touched down, it's very destructive in the path. I feel for these people. It's hurtful to see, you know, what it's doing. I pray for everybody that's, you know, in these areas where it's, you're very affected by this. I know the weather was crazy out here today, but we're not right in the eye of the storm kind of, you know, I don't know a better way to say it, but Boston is kind of like out of the way of where this is actually hidden. We're not as affected as a lot of other people are. So I just want everybody to know I feel for everybody and all those that have been affected or, you know, maybe in a place where you're not particularly safe. So yeah, my thoughts are with everybody, you know, affected by Hurricane Florence. That's my big point here. But on a lighter note, Lee, did you have something that you wanted to talk about tonight?
Yeah, man. You know, I watched the Triple G Canelo fight Saturday, and I had brought this up in reference to the UFC a while ago, and I'm gonna bring it up in reference to boxing. You know, I watched the fight, and the first six rounds I had it 3-3. You know, three rounds for Triple G, three rounds for Canelo. But starting in like the seventh round, Triple G started taking over the fight. At one point, he had Canelo actually hurt, and I thought he was going to put him down. But that being said, you know, my personal opinion is I thought Triple G won the first fight, and I thought he won the fight Saturday. But my issue and the point that I want to bring up tonight is when the scorecards were announced, some of the scorecards were so ridiculous that it was like, for real, what fight were you watching? I think one of the judges had Canelo winning 8-4. It was like 118-110. I think one of them had a 118-112. It was just like some ridiculous numbers. But at the same time, my point here is, and this is my suggestion for both the UFC and boxing, the judges need to make their scorecards available to the people that are watching the fight. They need to show us the scorecards. at the end of every round. Before the start of the next round, we need to see exactly how they're scoring the fight. I think if we as fans get to see how they're scoring the fight, it gives us a better understanding of what they're looking for, you know, as far as aggression, you know, maybe punches landed, power shots landed, you know, takedowns in the UFC, stuff like that. I think it makes the sport more transparent, and it makes it less, what I want to say, because to me, it seems like boxing is one of the sports that is still corrupt, and judges have the power of deciding who wins and loses fights. And I think if you make the judges show us their scorecards at the end of every round, it gives us a better understanding of how they're scoring the fight. I mean, us as UFC fans, you know, we can basically tell sometimes who's dominating the fight because we can tell by takedowns, strikes landed, you know, octagon control and things like that. But in close fights, I might say this guy won around 10-9. Keys might say the other guy won around 10-9. So I think if we as fans were privy to seeing the judges' scorecards, it'll better enlighten us and gives us a better understanding on what's going on with the judges, how the judges think, because each judge is looking at the fight differently. And, you know, maybe one judge is looking for octagon control, where the second judge might be, you know, he might be looking at strikes landed. And then the third judge might be high on takedowns and, you know, wrestling and stuff like that. And because I know for me, when I was watching the Triple G Canelo fight Saturday, there was no way Canelo won that fight, man. I mean, it was such a travesty. And I kind of feel bad for Triple G. Not only did he beat him the first time, and it was a draw, he beat him the second time and got robbed of a decision. So, and, you know, what he did at the end of the fight was, you know, unprofessional. You know, he walked out the ring without giving an interview. I still don't know whether or not he gave a post-fight interview. I'll check on that later. But I feel his pain, man. How do you feel about the judges making their scorecards available to the viewers, Keys?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, I know, don't they show the unofficial scorecards during the fight?
Yeah, they'll show, like on HBO, they might have Harold Letterman show his scorecard, his unofficial scorecard, you know. Yeah, they normally do that on HBO and Showtime.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that was the judge's unofficial scorecard, so. Because I never watched that many boxing fights, but when I did, I usually noticed those unofficial scorecards, but maybe that's something different. I mean, it does happen, like, during the fight. But, I think it's a good idea. Because it's like, if you're committing a crime, you know, and someone tells you that it's, and this is going to be a weird analogy, but this is what I was thinking of while you were talking. If someone is going to commit a crime and they don't get any guidance before committing a crime, they're probably going to do it exactly how they thought it out because they had nobody to possibly sway their mind either way. But when you tell somebody the crime you're going to commit before you do it, then somebody, you know, the pressure of them, of whatever they tell you, could possibly change the way you act in what you're about, whatever you're about to do. So I think that's similar to this, because the robbery is a crime. It's a crime to the sport of boxing. You know, it's a figurative robbery, and the robbery is a crime. So if the judges are going to commit a crime, put the crime on the screen, because then now you know that everybody can see the buffoonery that is being conducted at this time, and you have to put it out there to the public, not just let them wait the whole robbery way at the end. And it's just trash, because it's just trash, because You know, what bothers me is that now every, you know, I think it's a good idea because then you could put it out there and let people, you know, while the fight's going on, you can actually see, you know, round for round where the bad judging was happening, because you know certain rounds are so one-sided, but then you have the judge who, you know, had it a 10-8 round for the other guy, and you're like, man, he did nothing that entire round. How's that a 10-8 round for, you know, so-and-so? He got dominated. Like, it happens in the UFC all the time. Like in the Whitaker-Romero fight. Whitaker was getting dominated, and somehow he won the fight. But I digress. Yeah, I lost my train of thought there, but yeah, that's why.
Yeah, because you know goodness well, I wasn't gonna let you get away with saying that, because Romero had two good rounds. He had two good rounds, the fourth and the fifth round, and that's only because my man broke his hand in the third round punching Romero in the face, so he broke his hand, and Romero came on in the fourth and fifth round. But there was not a time in that fight where you would give Romero a 10-8 round. But, you know, but you know what? That's perfect, though, because that goes to exactly what I'm talking about. Keys looked at the fight one way. Yeah, you know, that was a great segue. Keys looked at the fight one way. I looked at the fight another way. And basically, you know, Keys, when he watched the Romero fight, I think you felt he won rounds 3, 4, and 5. I felt Whitaker won rounds 1, 2, and 3, and I felt Romero won 4 and 5. So, but at the same time, is let's say if me and Keys were actually judges, then and we had to make our scorecards available to the viewers, Keys probably would have scored rounds 3, 4, and 5, 10-9 to Romero, but he may even gave him a 10-8 round. I don't even know how you would do that, but he may even gave him a 10-8 round. But at the same time, as me as a viewer, I see how he's scoring the fight, whereas I'm not shocked at the end of the fight, like, wow, he really scored it like that? So, you know, man, I just think it'll be a nice thing for the viewers to have. It'll probably make some judges uncomfortable, but at the same time, it'll make judges accountable for bad decisions. That way, let's say at post-fight interviews, somebody can go to the judge and be like, well, how did you score this round 10-8 and your counterpart scored it 10-9? So it'll make judges more accountable. So, you know, that's just my little pet peeve right now with boxing and mixed martial arts. So, you know, I just think it'll be good for the sport. And that's just it, man.
Well, because presently, I'm really sick of the whole, like, trilogy concept in fighting. You know, and I don't really pay attention to too many different fight organizations. Like, I only really watch, I mean, if I tell somebody I'm into MMA, what I really should tell them is I'm into UFC, because I don't really watch these other fight organizations. Like, people will send me a video of some guy, you know, getting a crazy knockout in some random no-name fight league, and I'll watch it, but I'm not going to tune into the fight or, you know, look what's going on in the promotion. I don't give a damn about the promotion, to be honest. I mean, that and, you know, certain boxers, I'll you know what they're doing, but I'm not even tuning into boxing fights like that. I mean, there's only very seldom will I tune into a very specific boxing fight. I don't even give a damn about the Canelo and Triple G fight. I only cared what Lee's take was on it and what happened. I know I care enough to look up the news of what happened, but I couldn't give a fuck to watch that pay-per-view if I tried. And that was just how that went. And matter of fact, when that was going on, I was actually visiting my cousin up at his school that he goes to, and I was up there, you know, partying, having a good time, met a whole lot of women, and it was a good time. And then now I've had a migraine headache for like 3 days because I drank my face off on Friday night. So that's probably my own fault, but it's all good. And And then Saturday, you know, my stomach was so sick, I didn't drink the whole next day on Saturday. I was the designated driver and everything. I told, you know, all the girls, everything. I was like, yeah, guys, just let me be DD because I'm definitely not drinking tonight. My stomach is rolling, and I might die, so I need to just chill. And all I did was, I went outside, started mingling with some people. Some people were smoking weed. You know, I took one hit of a blunt, and I threw up. I was coughing so hard that I threw up from one hit of a blunt. Everybody outside was like, I heard them talking. They were looking at me like, this kid really just threw up. I didn't even have a drink in my hand. I didn't have a drink the whole night, the whole day. And I was, I think, the only person that anybody saw throw up at that party. The only one that wasn't drinking. I was drinking water, and I threw up. So that's crazy. I have a really weak stomach. And so the point of my rant was that I'm just sick of trilogy fights. I know that I just had to jump way back to restore myself to what I was saying. I'm just sick of the whole trilogy fight concept. I don't think that's interesting. And the reason why it's not is because unless you have two very competitive fights where one time one guy won and then the other time he lost, you know, the guy that won the next time he lost, but both fights were extremely competitive, you know, or each fight had like a, you know, crazy knockout. Like, unless it's proper, like, unless it's done the right way, I'm not a fan of the trilogy fight concept, you know, because nowadays I feel like boxing and UFC are just, like, they're just digging for trilogy fights everywhere. Just for the hell of calling it, you know, the trilogy fight. And they think that that's like a marketing angle, but I think that's a trash marketing angle. Like, I get maybe in boxing it is because those fans are stupid. And they buy into that shit. But, like, in the UFC, I think it's garbage. Like, I mean, I can't think off the top of the last time. I mean, I know there's probably been some really good trilogies in the past. I know there's a few I can't think of off the top. But it's been a while since that's happened. Like I'm so glad, actually, that TJ Dillashaw beat Cody twice so we didn't have to hear about a stupid trilogy fight. Because I'm so sick of the trilogy fight, man. There's no need. Every time you want guys to fight. Why do we need to see these guys fight three times in a row? Why do we need to see them fight three times in a row? I don't understand it. I don't even like to see guys fight twice. I don't even like the rematch concept. Unless it's very warranted, I don't like the rematch concept. Like, really, I don't even think Cody should have got a rematch with Dillashaw because he never defended the belt.
I don't either.
So what warranted him to get – you know what warranted it? I'll tell you why. Because the UFC – I guarantee it, they hoped that Dillashaw would lose to Cody the second time so they could make the trilogy fight. Going back to what I'm just saying, that was the reason why they did the stupid rematch, and I'm glad Dillashaw beat him again to shove it in the UFC's face that you can't have your stupid trilogy fight. Now, why did they have Romero? And I bet you they hoped that Romero would beat Whitaker the second time so they could have the stupid trilogy fight. You know, it just so happens that those two – Whitaker Romero fights were actually pretty good fights.
They were pretty good fights. They were actually pretty good fights.
They were. So that's like one case recently where it's like guys fought twice and they were both wars and it was just like very entertaining, like five round fights. So like that one is an exception. But I bet somewhere in the mind of the UFC they would have hoped that Yoel Romero would have won so they could have did a trilogy fight. But now Whitaker beat him twice, so they can't do a trilogy fight. And that's what you get, UFC. That's what you get for trying to do three fights every time. The champion wins twice. And Dillashaw beats Cody twice. That's what you get. And for giving people shots back at the title when they don't even deserve a rematch. If a guy didn't even defend the belt once, and then he loses the belt in his first title defense, how is that warranted to get a rematch for your belt? You didn't do anything. You did nothing. That's almost as sorry as Dominic Cruz crying for a title shot. When's the last time he fought? Like 2012? Man, get Dominic Cruz out of here. That's a disgrace. That's how I feel. I don't want to hear about that ever again. Anyways, next topic.
Yeah.
Next topic. Next topic. I'm
Hold on.
Change
let
it.
Me. Let me talk about trilogy
Cruz
fights real quick.
And the stupid
title
shot.
I'm not
going to
talk about Dominic Cruz, but I'm going to talk about trilogy fights. Now, I'm with you on a trilogy fight. Now, if it's two guys that put on a hell of a fight, and you know the first guy, let's say the first guy, he wins narrowly, and it's like controversial, And then, you know, they do the second fight. And then the second guy wins, and it's controversial, or he knocks the guy out, you know. So then I think that warrants a trilogy fight. Just like right now, you know how, like, Nate Diaz is – I love Nate Diaz, man. But come on, Nate, man, get over this Conor McGregor thing, man. It ain't going to happen unless you go down to 155 and you fight Conor at 155. Other than that, you're not going to get the trilogy fight. So start crying for it. And then I think the one thing – I'm going to tell you what made the trilogy fight the worst thing in UFC history. Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard. Because remember, Frankie Edgar had one loss on his record, and it was to Gray Maynard. So the UFC thought it would be a good idea to have Frankie try to avenge his loss to Gray Maynard. So then Frankie beat him. So then they was like, well, we got to have a rubber match. So they had a rubber match, and then Frankie beat him again. So just because the fans were into that, that's when the UFC came up with this idea of having a trilogy fight. Now, one thing you said that I found very interesting, and I know that it doesn't pertain to what you said, because me and you both agree on this, is you say you really don't buy into immediate rematches. I do buy into immediate rematches if the person that won in a controversial fashion, or if the person that lost was a dominant champion and dominated division and beat everybody, you know, that's in the top five or maybe even the top six, I think they would automatically deserve an instant rematch. Automatic rematch. Like, my main thing right now is the UFC doesn't want to give Stipe an immediate rematch. Why? He beat everybody in the top five. I think he even beat everybody in the top eight, maybe. And Daniel Cormier actually won the fight in a controversial fashion. Because if it wasn't for the eye poke, I think Stipe was going to start to dismantle Cormier and beat him. And if you pay attention to the fight, right before Cormier knocks him out, he eye pokes him again that the referee misses, and that's when Stipe gets knocked out. So I am for some immediate rematches, but I'm also for new blood being given an opportunity to showcase their skills and maybe win a belt. And the trilogy thing, man, it's kind of hard because I'm with Keys on this one. Cody shouldn't have got an immediate rematch. I thought Joanna shouldn't have got an immediate rematch because she got beat and knocked by knockout. And Cody got beat by knockout. I think if you lose by knockout, you probably should have one more fight or maybe two more fights to earn your way back up the ladder. I agree with my man Keys on some immediate rematches. Some, I think the guy that lost does deserve an immediate rematch. And I think trilogy fights are only good if the first two fights were highly competitive or they were controversial in some form or fashion. Just like the John Jones, Daniel Cormier thing, do we really want to see that? A lot of people say yes, because they feel John can't beat him without performance-enhancing drugs or whatever. But everybody keeps forgetting that the first time they fought, John beat him. So, and I think the UFC, you know, they do stuff for ratings instead of doing stuff for fans now. And I think they're getting away from what made them a great company, is that they made the fights fans wanted to see instead of making the fights that they feel are good fights or letting fighters pick who they want to fight. Yo, Keys. Yo, Keys. I don't know, my man Keys might be having some technical difficulties. You know, another thing that kind of came out that actually happened this weekend was a college football game. And, you know, college football is kids, young men playing against young men, you know. And it's a very physical game, you know. A lot of kids in college, they're trying to get to the NFL. But I think in college is where you should mold young men to be good sportsmen, be good sports. I saw a score this weekend that actually made me want to throw up. South Dakota State beat a Division III school 90-6. First of all, South Dakota State shouldn't have been playing a Division III school. Thirdly, where did the sportsmanship come into effect by the coach? The coach himself should have been relaying sportsmanship to his team. There is no way you run up the score 90-6. Now, if you drop it back and you handing the ball off every time and you running the ball and the other team can't stop you, that's on the other teams. But when you doing trick plays and you throwing the ball, to me, that's when the coach has taken the sportsmanship away and he is putting the emphasis on winning. You already had the game won. The score at halftime was 40-something I want to say. Now, I have been a coach. I've been a player. As a coach, you always want to put your team in the best position to win the game. That's what a coach is supposed to do. You want to teach the fundamentals to your players. You want to teach your players how to be good winners, how to be even better losers. You get up. If you lose, you get up. You shake the other team's hand. You say, good job, you know, keep your head up. You know, you come back to the dugout or you come back to the team meeting spot. You know, you listen to the coach at the end, 1-2-3 team, 1-2-3 go, 1-2-3 family, stuff like that. When you win, you celebrate wins. Because sometimes you put a lot into what you are doing. You know, practice, you know, keeping your body good, eating the right things, stuff like that. But I say that to say this. As a coach, your primary job is to be a leader of men and young women. 90-6 is ridiculous. First of all, how would you feel if, let's say, Ohio State played South Dakota State and Ohio State was up 40-0 and they still throwing the ball and they doing trick plays and stuff like that? How would the coach for South Dakota State feel? He'll probably be pissed off. So I say that because 90-6 is ridiculous. And why would you schedule a Division III school that's basically this is their first year playing football? When you have won a Division II, I want to say South Dakota State is a Division II school, FCS school. And I want to say they have won a national championship a few times in the last few years. That's disgraceful to the sport. It's disgraceful to the other coach. It's disgraceful to the other players. And actually, your players should feel disgraced also. I'm all about good sportsmanship. I'm all about mentoring. So that was one thing that stuck out to me this week. I'm trying to see whether or not my man Keys is on. Yo, Keys. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just keep on talking, you know. I'm going to just keep on talking and you know, hopefully everybody can follow me. Another thing that came up this week, the Seattle Storm for the WNBA won the WNBA championship this week. And Sue Bird, one of the greatest players in Team USA history, somebody asked her, would they be going to the White House? And she said she don't think she would go if they were invited. I know why Sue Bird said that. It's because our current president, you know, he didn't invite the Minnesota Lynx to the White House.
Right.
And, you know, and I just feel that, you know, he has a certain take on people, and his take isn't always the right take. But I think in this country we have grown to celebrate our champions. It doesn't matter. You know, most of our champions have went and visited the president after they won, you know, football, basketball, hockey, baseball. I think even soccer at one point, you know, they went to visit the president. Our current president, he is so divisive that teams don't even want to be celebrated by him. So, you know, I say that to say this. Our champions should be celebrated within our country because our athletes put in so much hard work and dedication to their craft. And some of them, as little kids, are always dreamed about going to the White House after they won a championship. I think the president needs to get back to the program and realize that it's an honor for him to sit in that office, and it's even a bigger honor for the championship teams to visit the White House and get to meet the president. So I think that's something that needs to be worked on. I think it'll probably be fixed once our current president is off the office, but he's such a divisive and polarizing person. But at the same time, take on the Minnesota Lynx, they did something that was very interesting. They end up on, when they was in D.C. for a game, they went and did some community work in D.C. They celebrated young women, and they did an interesting thing. Instead of going to the White House, they knew they weren't invited, but they still wanted to celebrate their championship. And I like what they did. I think my man Keys is back. Keys, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here. All right.
What happened? Technical difficulties?
Honestly, yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff, but I figured it out.
All right, that's what's up.
I was talking the whole time. Maybe my mic on my laptop just, like, turned off or something, but I'm in here.
All right.
If there's a why, there's a way.
So what was you saying?
I was trying to say before I got cut out was that for people that listen to this show, like for the stuff about UFC, we're about to drop something on you right now. And the thing is that in 2 days, there will be the first press conference. Just Khabib and Conor McGregor. Just them two and Dana White. First press conference. I don't even want to say for that event, just for that fight. I understand why there's just them two guys. That's a huge fight. But I just want everybody to know that it's in 2 days. So Thursday, it's going to air Thursday at 5 p.m. It's going to be Dana White, Khabib, and Conor McGregor. That's it. And it's only open to – it's a private event, just open to press. That's all the information I got. But I will also tell you this, and – on the next show, which will be after that press conference, and we see what happens, I can't wait to say that I broke this also to you. And this, it will happen. I believe it. And I believe it enough to already look forward to the time when I tell myself that I was right, and I'll be happy that I let the people know. It's that I believe that the main event of UFC 230 will be announced probably at the very end of the Khabib and McGregor press conference. The same way that the Khabib and McGregor fight was announced at the very end of the press conference they did before that, when they showed like all the fights that were going to happen the rest of the year. Like they showed the Cowboy and Mike Perry fight and all the main events that were happening like through November or whatever, then they showed the Khabib McGregor. I think that'll happen the same way, and they're going to wait, and they're waiting for that moment when there's a lot of eyes on it, a lot of press, and it'll get the circulation, the proper circulation. I think that's the best possible time that the UFC could announce this main event. And it's only about 6 weeks out from the event itself, so I feel like it's the perfect time. 6 weeks, why wait any longer? It's already been a while. People have been waiting. I mean, last year's New York card, we knew the main event, like, the beginning of the year. Everybody knew that GSP was going to main event Madison Square Garden. I knew that in like March of last year, right when he was, right when they announced he was coming back. I knew he was going to wait because he was going to have surgery and it was going to take a long time. And I knew he'd want to fight on the biggest stage possible because he's GSP. Why not? But
so
yes,
who's
I do
be
think
the main event?
I do think the main event will be announced. And I don't know officially because I don't think anyone knows. But I watched a kind of like an analysis of some other footage that from the UFC 228 event. And when you had Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, and John Anik, they were, you know, outside the octagon doing their thing, the three of them on camera, you know, having that little 5-minute segment talking about, you know, pre or post fight, whatever moment it was. And there was a moment when John Anik and Joe Rogan started talking about how UFC 230 still didn't have a main event. And during that time, I think Daniel Cormier, he kind of laughed and he just didn't say anything for the entire segment, but he still looked excited. He just didn't say anything. And when I was seeing somebody else's analysis of that, it kind of did put the seed in my mind that, that DC knows something about that main event, that he just felt the need to not contribute anything into that segment. So I don't think any more needs to be said than that. But I do think that the main event will be it's gonna feature two of the three of John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson, and Daniel Cormier. The main event, I do believe, 100% will feature one of those three fighters. Now the other possibility is that Woodley and Covington, but I don't know if the UFC would want to main event that. I think that maybe be a co-main event. They might want to do two title fights, so maybe do one of those three guys, mash two out of three of those guys up for the main event, then possibly Woodley or Covington for the co-main event, or have this one is really the wild card. This one is, I don't think many people might even be thinking about this fight, but I think Dillashaw versus Cejudo could possibly slide in there as a co-main event right under people's noses because it's such a quick turnaround for both of them because they both just fought at 227. But I do think it's possible because we all know Dillashaw kind of made it out of that fight unscratched. I don't even think he had any post-fight suspensions, no medical suspension or anything. I don't think so. I don't know actually about Cejudo. I don't know about that. But Cejudo, he kind of had a long fight, so he might have a black and blue when he can't fight. But I do think it's possible
enough time to recover, though. I think he's had enough time to recover fighting that event. But
yeah, 3 months. I think it's good.
Yeah, I just don't see him being a. Man, that fight just doesn't get my juices running, but I understand it. Oh, man. Now, if you were to tell me that it was Dillashaw versus Moraes, now that'd get my juices boiling. I'd be like, all right, I'm in on that fight. But Cejudo, I'm just not feeling. Because, first of all, anybody that watched the Cejudo versus DJ fight knows that Cejudo really didn't win that fight. And yes, I'm crying conspiracy theory right now, but I just don't see Cejudo being in the same class as TJ as a fighter. So if you tell me it's TJ versus Marlon Moraes, I'm all in on that. Now, I don't think DC would fight John Jones or Gustafsson. I think he would rather vacate the 205 belt than fight either one of them. So I'm going to roll with your first thought is that they'll probably roll out John Jones versus Gustafsson for the interim light heavyweight belt, and that'll force Cormier to either vacate or fight one of them, even though his dream fight of fighting Brock Lesnar, I think, is out the window because Brock Lesnar is about to headline another WWE event, and they're saying he's going to make a 7-figure payday on this fight. So I don't see the Lesnar versus the DC fight happening until maybe first quarter of 2019. if it does happen. So we'll see what happens. And also we might even get Carolina versus Joanna, man, because Joanna hasn't fought, and Carolina was supposed to fight Nico, and Nico ended up pulling out, and UFC stripped Nico of the belt. So we might even get that fight. But even though I would rather see Tatiana Suarez fight Joanna, and I would rather see I don't know who I want to see Carolina fight. But I wouldn't mind seeing Thug Rose versus Jessica Andrade, but we probably ain't going to get that fight until the first quarter of 2019 also. So, you know, man, there's a lot of things that the UFC can work out. But I'm with you. They are going to pull something at the end of that press conference to get everybody to, because it's going to be a lot of eyes on that press conference, because Conor really hasn't said anything since the Floyd Mayweather fight, and he's a big draw. And I also heard that they're going to be broadcasting that that press conference on the Megazilla, which I read today on Twitter is the biggest TV in the world. So it's going to be shown. It's going to be being broadcasted live on in Times Square. So yeah, the UFC doing a real big for this Conor and Khabib press conference.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch it too. To be honest. Wow, look at all that echo. I feel like going, Jesus Christ.
I don't like the fact that they're doing just Conor and Khabib, because I would like to hear Tony Ferguson. I would like to hear Tony Ferguson talk about his fight with Anthony Pettis. So, you know, I understand it, why they're doing just Conor and Khabib, but I would also like to see, you know, Tony Ferguson, you know, talk about his upcoming fight and his recovery and stuff like that.
Actually, yeah, that would have been a good mix, because Jesus, look at all the echo. Yeah, that would have been nice to have Ferguson at the press conference, because everybody knows if he beats Pettis, then he's the next one to fight for that belt. So I know he would get mixed up, you know, the back and forth between those three guys. Plus, I wouldn't mind seeing Pettis too. I haven't even seen Pettis talk in a long time, so, or be at a press conference for that matter.
Well, I don't think Pettis would. See, I think Pettis and Ferguson, I'll take that back. I think Pettis would be more laid back than the other three guys, whereas I think Ferguson is known to talk shit, and I know he would talk shit to Khabib, because Khabib has pulled out of the Ferguson versus Khabib fight twice, whereas Ferguson actually got hurt. So I think Ferguson would actually give him a hard time, and I also think Ferguson would bring up the fact that, you know, Khabib never beat anybody to win the belt, as my man Keys would say. And I would love to see the back and forth between Khabib, Ferguson, and Conor. I think that would be good TV. The UFC is just going to go with the two headliners, because they always hitch their horse to Conor McGregor, and that's just the way it is.
Can you hear that?
Hear what?
Okay, because when I talk over here, I can hear the echo back. I was wondering if it was, you could hear it in the show too. But that's...
Nope, no echo.
I guess not. You can't hear it?
No echo.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. To be honest, I had the direct connect and whatever. Anyways, that's gonna be good, and I'm excited to see what happens. Preferably out of all those things, I don't really care about the Dillashaw and Cejudo fight, so I don't really care. I just think that could slip under people's noses, and they throw that on there just because it's a champion versus champion fight, and it seems like everybody wants to do those fights now. Even Bellator is doing one of those fights now. They have Rory McDonald fighting Jagar Musasi and not the champion versus champion fight. So everybody just wants to do champion versus champion, and which is interesting because it's not even that big of a draw. Like, the DC and Stipe pay-per-view was built up to be so big, and I don't even think it sold 500,000 pay-per-views. So that's a snooze for me right there. You know, shout out to Stipe, though. You know what would actually be funny is if Stipe would actually rematch DC in the main event. That would be cool. I know they wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't hate it because, you know, Stipe is my guy.
I wouldn't say they wouldn't do it. It's just that, you know, Dana White is hell-bent on Brock Lesnar getting the next UFC heavyweight championship fight. But Brock is actually scheduled, is booked to be in another WWE event. So I think they need something needs to happen with Cormier, man.
Yeah, Cormier is, I mean, when I look at the way that it looked on the footage, I mean, there's only so much you could say about just, like, the way somebody's behavior is. It's kind of, like, overanalyzing a little bit, I would say. But, I mean, I guess it is worth noting. I mean, I feel like DC is kind of, like, so interlocked with the UFC that he probably would just be quiet anyways. He probably just wouldn't want to say anything about that main event because he's kind of, like, I feel like he tries to be, like, the poster child of the UFC. I mean, maybe he is. I really don't know because I don't think about things like that, but he definitely tries to be like the teacher. Maybe that was the wrong word. He tries to be like the teacher's pet of the UFC. That's what I would say.
Well, I'll say for you, he's being a company man. He's a company man, and that's why the UFC doesn't. That's why Dana White doesn't get behind Tyron Woodley, because Tyron Woodley would do the UFC tonight. He'll do stuff like that, but Tyron Woodley will not kiss Dana White's ass. And I think that drives Dana White crazy. I think anybody that doesn't show Dana White the amount of respect he thinks he deserves, he just doesn't put the backing of the company behind him. And I think DC is playing it smart, you know, because we all know that he said that this is his last year of fighting. I think Dana will do him a solid and let him fight Brock Lesnar and a big money fight on his way out the door. And it is what it is.
Yeah. That fight's a snooze for me, too. I don't mean to sound like certain times like I don't have as much input as I might like to. My interest falls very fast. My interest diminishes extremely quick sometimes, and I don't have the motivation to talk about certain topics. Now, I am excited to see what they do for the main event. I do think that it will be announced at the end of the Khabib McGregor press conference this Thursday at 5 p.m. Tune in because it's going to be beautiful. Going to be a wonderful show, and I'm excited just for that. I do think they'll announce that. I have no idea, honestly, what the match might be. I gave out some ideas, but really, who knows? It could be anything at this point. I mean, the fights that are even on that card, I could never even have imagined them doing anyways. I mean, I was asking for the Rockhold and Weidman rematch like a year ago, and people were saying no. So I wanted that rematch immediately, and it took them all this time to put it on that card. I get why, because Weidman's a New Yorker. I understand the placement of it, but it just took such a long time. I think it was actually 2 years that it took them to do it. Yeah, it took them 2 years to get booked that rematch. So I could have never imagined that that would be on this card and any of the other fights either. I could have never imagined Nate Diaz coming to fight Dustin Poirier, even though that's an awesome fight. And I actually hope Poirier embarrasses him. I'm going to be rooting for Poirier. But that fight is completely random. That's another one that I just would have never imagined for Nate Diaz, because Poirier It just, I thought, like Lee was saying, he's just waiting for that stupid trilogy fight, you know, and even though he got his ass kicked in the second fight, I thought that was what was happening there. And the rest of the thing, I had to look at it, but it's just a lot of random matches. I can never imagine what the UFC is going to do at this point. Usually I think I have it figured out. Sometimes I'm right, but a lot of times I'm also wrong. Like most of the times I play DraftKings. Matter of fact, when I did DraftKings, I had my lineup for UFC 228. I got demolished. I got demolished. And you know why? Because one of the people in my contest picked Tatiana Suarez to beat Esparza. And I didn't pick Esparza because I just didn't really care for the matchup. And I just didn't really know. If I don't know somebody, I'm not going to book on the opposite person because I don't know the other guy. Like, that's just how you end up losing, because you just don't not have the knowledge to – you don't have any basis for your choice. So I just didn't even pick that fight. I picked other fights, but she was such a high amount of points that
he
smoked all of us.
I keep telling you, man, and I keep telling you that you – man, you got to start doing your homework on some of these fighters, man. Tatiana Suarez is a beast, man. Carla Esparza, now you know that – Carla Esparza, her key to success and victories is her wrestling. This girl, Tatiana Suarez, she dominated Carla Esparza in wrestling. I've never seen Carla Esparza get handled like that in the octagon as far as wrestling is concerned. That's why I want to see Tatiana Suarez fight Joanna. Can Tatiana Suarez take Joanna down, keep her down, you know, inflict some ground and pound on her, or does she have a sufficient stand-up game to be able to go to war with Joanna? That's why I want to see that fight instead of Joanna going up to 125 and fighting Carolina. I'd rather just see Tatiana versus Joanna with the winner fighting the winner of Andrade versus Nami Yunes. Even if Joanna wins, I think she might just get that third fight just because she's running through everybody that's below her and she's beating everybody below her. And I don't think the UFC can keep denying her maybe that third fight, or they might make her move up to 125. So, but I would like to see her fight Tatiana Suarez first.
Hey, I didn't actually pick the Esparza fight. I know I get your point, but I didn't pick either. If I had researched the other girl, then I would have known to pick her, but I didn't pick either one because I didn't know. Through trial and error, I just in the old days, I would just pick random people, and then sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but you just have no basis of knowing what's going to happen. Nowadays,
you can't predict fights. Bet,
yeah, I try to bet it's extremely hard, but I just try to bet with some understanding of who I'm looking at. Like, I tried to research the guy, Abdul Al-Hassan, who knocked out Nico Price at UFC 228. I actually researched them, and I watched both of their footage. And without watching footage, I was going to pick Al-Hassan because I saw him, and he had a crazy performance when I saw him in Boston. But then,
yeah, he's pretty good.
But then when I watched footage of both of them, and I watched footage of Nico Price, with having watched footage, I picked Nico Price. With having not watched footage, I was going to pick Al-Hassan, which I would have won big because he destroyed Nico Price in the first round in like 45 seconds. So it's really tough because sometimes I pick the right path by doing the research, and sometimes I pick the wrong path by having done the research, because when I looked stylistically at the match, it looked like Nico Price had a lot more weapons. He was, you know, he had a lot of wrestling, throwing guys on the head. He also has a little bit of striking. I looked at it as like Al-Hassan's more one-dimensional, so he might not be able to handle it if he's getting taken down and getting worn down, you know, having all that weight on him on the floor, kind of like Ngannou. So,
yeah,
but
I like that.
Having done the research, I was actually wrong. So it's really hard to know.
And you know what's funny is that, Ben, we had a show, and we our show, basically we do have to do predictions. And I know that when I do my predictions, I do my predictions based on what I've seen, based on style of fight. And, you know, it's hard because I know for you, you started picking with your heart, and you was actually, you do good picking with your heart than you do based on skill level or style of fight and stuff like that. So it's hard in this business to actually pick fights. And, you know, but that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, we predict fights based on eye tests, based on sometimes. I know me, I don't base it based on previous opponents because guys like Khabib really haven't fought anybody. And, you know, so I go off of skill set, you know, how the fighters match up stylistically. And, you know, that's just the nature of what we do now. We're UFC prognosticators.
Yeah, I like that word. That's a good one.
Yeah,
the thing is tough. I think Lee was trying to say that I my outcomes are more accurate when I pick with my heart than when I pick with the analysis kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
analytics.
Yeah, that's because, like, if I looked at the card, at least, like, the first two guys I pick off the top one, and that was based on picking with my heart, I would have picked Woodley and Al-Hassan, and that would have been what my heart, and plus, I mean, Al-Hassan is kind of a little bit based off what I've seen, and Woodley also has a factor of what I've seen, but, like, he's also my favorite fighter, so I would probably pick him even if, you know, he was fighting a guy that I thought he had no chance of beating. I'd probably still pick him because I would still be rooting for him, so I would pick him anyways. But, like, that kind
of
thought
does... Hey, but
I got
a question real quick, though, Keys.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about this guy, but what is Israel Adesanya fighting? What card is he on?
He's fighting in New York, actually. I couldn't remember that one. He's fighting Derek Brunson.
He's at MSG?
Yeah, he's fighting Derek Brunson.
Oh, man, yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah, man, I'm actually excited for that one. I'm surprised I forgot to mention it when I was thinking about that card. See, that one, Sonya, I think he's going to – he'll come in as the – like a probably – I don't know if he'll come in as an underdog. Maybe. I mean, probably most people will expect him to lose, but I think he's going to have a crazy – it's going to be good. I'm not going to talk about it. I just think it's going to be beautiful. That's it. And I'm a fan of Derek Brunson, but I think he's talking too much out of his mouth right now about this guy, and he's going to get kicked in the head or something like that. That's what I think. Brunson's also his fight IQ is not too good, so you got to play it smart.
I think Adesanya is going to come in as a favorite in that fight. I think he's going to come – for some strange reason, I think he's going to come in the batting odds as a favorite because he's been on such a tear since he entered the UFC. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a pick-em fight.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. It's really hard to know. It's hard to know because so many people was rooting for Darren Till, and he got demolished. He got annihilated, embarrassed, destroyed, decimated, embarrassed, destroyed, obliterated, decimated, annihilated.
You didn't use destroyed,
dominated,
and decimated, and dominated. You didn't use those twice.
And destroyed. Did I mention he got
that's three times
annihilated, and decimated, and destroyed?
That's three times. That's four
and
times. That's
see, everybody was rooting for Darren Till, but he got destroyed. And embarrassed, decimated, and obliterated.
I don't think a lot of people was rooting for Darren Till, though. I think a lot of people just don't like Tyron Woodley, man. And I think people that don't like Tyron Woodley, they're immediately going to go towards the guy he's fighting against. And I think even though a lot of people don't like Colby Covington, I think a lot of them will go for Covington when he fights on Tyron Woodley. And it's because a lot of people feel Woodley is cocky. They feel Woodley is overhyped. You know, a lot of people feel like that. All right, I'm just going to say it. Fuck it. Excuse my French. Tyron Woodley came out and said that the UFC sometimes has a racial undertone when it comes to black champions. Tyron Woodley came out and said that the UFC doesn't promote the black champions the way they do the white champions. And I think that rubbed Dana White the wrong way, because if you really, really get down to it, the UFC really never promoted John Jones. They never, ever promoted Demetrius Johnson. And then they have never, ever got behind Tyron Woodley. And he actually came out and said it, and it rubbed the UFC the wrong way. And I think a lot of UFC fans, it rubbed them the wrong way also. So a lot of them just go for the guy that he's pitted against just because of what he said. And that's it.
And Darren Till was decimated and destroyed, annihilated, embarrassed. You know what the strikes was? It was 70, what was it, like 70-something?
74-1.
70?
And I don't even remember the one. I don't even remember the one. I think the one may have been in the first 30 seconds of the fight.
Yeah, I think Dana White just had them put that one there, so his
it would be a shutout.
Yeah, his favorite guy would look like he actually like had even his lightest chance with landing one punch, which he didn't actually land. There was no one punch at any point.
Yeah,
because he got embarrassed, destroyed, decimated, annihilated, dominated.
I guess this is a good way to close the show out tonight.
The most dominant champion in the UFC today.
Stop saying that, Keys. Stop saying that, man.
Champion. Who's the most dominant champion?
Oh, my bad. You said in the UFC today. Okay.
And who's the most dominant champion in the UFC right now? He wish he could say DJ right now. You wish so bad you could say that. You can't say that.
You know what? I'm not going to say anybody.
If he comes back and beats Cejudo, then I won't be able to say most dominant champion, because he'll have regained and been most dominant champion. But if he doesn't, then I can say it.
Actually, I could say George St. Pierre, because he never really lost the belt.
He's not current champion, though.
Actually, he did lose his belt. He lost his belt. No, did he lose to Johnny Hendricks, or did he vacate the belt after he lost to Johnny Hendricks?
No, he actually beat Johnny Hendricks, but it was a controversial decision. I think a lot of people thought he lost that fight.
Yeah.
And then he vacated the belt.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tyron Woodley is a great champion. He went in there. I actually was going for Till at first. Then at the last minute, it was just something about what Woodley said in the UFC countdown, where he said then that he couldn't use his right shoulder, that he had to learn different tricks as far as had different things to his game as far as kicking, elbows, using his left hand, you know, stuff like that. And once I heard him say that, I was like, he going to bring something different to the game tonight. And that's why I switched my pick at the last minute to him winning.
Yeah. And we'll be saying the next thing for the next fight. We'll be saying, damn, Kobe got destroyed, decimated, annihilated. Because you know why? I don't think he can handle anything that Woodley has. I think he doesn't do anything better. And his only luck is that he can clinch Woodley the entire fight. And I don't think that's going to happen. So,
I think T-Wood is going to beat the brakes off of Covington. I think Covington's only shot at beating Woodley is to catch him with something lucky. But I just don't see Woodley losing to Covington, because Covington, I just don't feel like he deserved the opportunity to be the interim champ. I don't think he's that good of a fighter. And I just like Woodley's overall skills better than I like Covington's overall skills. So,
yeah, you can hear me?
I just think Woodley. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, word! Finally got it back. This thing has been my bad, y'all. This thing has been having a lot of trouble tonight. I can't get on this thing for 5 minutes. Oh, my God, man. They don't want me to speak my truth. Yeah, go ahead, though. What were you saying?
So I was just saying that I think Woodley would dominate Covington. I think Woodley has better overall skills than him. I think Covington isn't as good a fighter as everybody makes him out to be. So, and I hope he beats the brakes off him, because I don't like loudmouth fighters. I don't like fighters that talk their way into opportunities. And Colby Covington has basically tried to become the new Conor McGregor, and it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. But yeah, we went over time a bit with this show, because we get very passionate about these things, and it's always good. I don't want to run people up too much time. People got homework to do. People got fights to analyze for, the fight card that's in, 3 weeks. Is it 3 weeks? Yeah, it's in about 2.5 weeks. So people got fights to analyze for these fights coming in 2.5 weeks. Our boy Derek Lewis is fighting. So shout out to Derek Lewis. And, Lee, if you have any last things you want to tell the people, go ahead, bro. It's all you.
Everybody go out, be safe, stay blessed, and do the best you can. And, to the people that's been affected by the hurricane, keep your head up. There are brighter days ahead, and life is good. So let's end the show on a good note.
Yeah, man, everybody. Keep grinding. Keep doing your thing. I want to say more, but I've had a headache for like 3 days straight, and I'm kind of worried about it. So I want to stop talking a little bit. And it might be from my eyes looking at the screen too much. So maybe I just got to stop using my laptop. But anyways, I could go get this checked out tomorrow, because I'm kind of worried. But anyways, yeah, everybody have a good night. I'm not feeling too good tonight. And it was also technical difficulties that was out of my control. Both things kind of out of my control. I apologize. But, we always try to give you guys the best show. Lee always gives you the best show. And he held it down for me tonight when I was in and out and, whenever I'm lacking. So, shout out to that. And everybody, like we say, be safe and support other people. And try to eat healthy. And beware of tornadoes. Literally, beware of tornadoes. Serious. It's my God. And giant sharks. Because, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But, yeah, somebody in Cape Cod actually got... There was someone who actually got killed by a shark in Cape Cod a couple of days ago. And, that was horrible. That was the first time someone... Someone been killed by a shark... off the coast of the Cape, and I think it was in the 1930s, I want to say. I thought they said, 1936 or something on the news, so.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Yeah, that's horrible. Rest in peace to that individual. I don't have his name. I know it was a male. I don't have his name right now, or I'd say it, but rest in peace to, that individual. That's horrible news. Everybody be safe. And, keep grinding. And Lee, have a good night, too. We over and out.
All right, you too, bro. Peace.